People are fascinating, aren't we? The Bible is full of interesting characters, some who are quite endearing in their quirkiness, and others who are downright shocking. Take the prophets, for example. These are some of the more flawed and unusual people we will ever read about. Yet they, like the rest of us, reveal God in surprising and unexpected ways, with surprising and unexpected images. Sometimes we find God when we least expect to, and sometimes God looks different than we were imagining. This Sunday concludes 2 weeks of reading from the book of the prophet Hosea. Last week, if you recall, Hosea started with a bang. God, the prophet Hosea tells us, is so frustrated with the people of Israel constantly dividing their loyalty, placing things in their lives at a higher priority to God, that God seemingly wants to make an object lesson out of Hosea's marriage. And so, as the story goes, Hosea is told to marry either a promiscuous woman or a wife of whoredom, depending on the translation that you're reading, so that God can use Hosea's marriage to teach the nation of Israel a lesson, which, no matter how you translate it, is a shocking story. At best, what we read in the book of Hosea seemed like spousal abandonment. At worst, it's more like spousal abuse and domestic violence. But the Bible, especially the Old Testament, is full of stories like this that make us uncomfortable. The key for us to remember, though, is that just because the Bible contains stories of things like rape, genocide, acts of war, and other kinds of violence, it doesn't mean that they're okay, and it doesn't mean that God likes them or even condones them. So I don't know why the prophet Hosea decided to use this particular object lesson, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't to tell us that domestic violence was okay. So as I've said before, when something in the scripture makes me uncomfortable, I tend to look at it and at myself head on to see what it is that makes me uncomfortable and to see if there are any signs of God at work, any signs of God's grace being shown through the reading. And certainly, we read that grace and that love in the last part of Hosea that we heard read this morning. God's unceasing grace and love is poured out on Israel. As one commentator has said, if this part of Hosea, this last part that we read today, was all there was to the prophet's book, the book would be great. Instead, somehow we have to reconcile the loving imagery we read today with what comes earlier, what we read last week, with the bizarre demands for Hosea to marry Gomer, Gomer's pregnancies, and the names that are given to the three children born to Gomer and Hosea, names that are given to the children in order to serve Hosea's object lesson, names that Gomer has no say in the giving. Jezreel, their firstborn, then a daughter, Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved, and then another son, Lo-Ammi, which means not my people. And we don't know much about the early years of these children or what life was like for Gomer, save one small note in the text that we heard read last Sunday that is put between Gomer's second and third children. It says, when Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she had another son. When Gomer had weaned her daughter, this baby girl, then a toddler, named Not Loved, spent 1, 2, maybe even 3 years being so incredibly loved, being carried, being held close and nourished with the life from her mother's body. And there is where I see God's grace, where I see God's extravagant love in this first part of the story of the prophet Hosea. It isn't in Hosea's words. It isn't even in God's words. I see God's extravagant love in Gomer holding close, pouring out her love onto the daughter who has to go through life with the name Not Loved hanging over her. In the same way that Gomer can't escape the names of promiscuous or whore, either in her lifetime or now 3,000 years later as we continue to read this text. Gomer, like God, persists in loving her child no matter what anyone else says. She persists in lavishly loving her daughter even when others say her daughter doesn't matter, or when the text implies that her daughter is merely a sermon illustration for Hosea. Gomer loves. She loves extravagantly. We could even take the label applied to her out of spite and turn it to good. Gomer loves promiscuously, freely sharing that love on those who are called loveless and unlovable. And if that isn't an image of God, I don't know what is. And with the love of God being expressed in the love of that Gomer has for her daughter who is named Not Loved, I find hope for reconciling the first part of the story of the prophet Hosea with that which we read this morning. Because this morning's reading from the prophet Hosea continues this image of God, continues this image of a mothering God who unfailingly loves and loves unfailingly. Here, God is Israel's mother, much like Gomer is mother to Lo-Ruhamah, Not Loved. God says, "Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk." Imagine God holding out her fingers for her toddling child to grasp as he teeters and totters. God says, "I took them up in my arms." Imagine God holding her child in her arms, not just one, but all of them at the same time. Because no matter how many, no matter how wriggly, there's room in God's lap for all of her children. God says, "I was like them. I was like those who lift babies to their cheeks. The way I cared for them, the nation who is my child, was like when you hold up a baby to your face and rub his soft, plump little cheek against your own." God says, "I bent down to them and fed them. I fed babies as mothers have from the founding of the world. I nursed my babies at my own breast." This image of God as mother is older than Hosea, and it endures into the New Testament and into the earliest theology of the church. Not the vengeful husband of his bride of Israel seeking to make an object lesson out of his wife. No, here we have the loving mother of her children Israel, the mother hen of all creation who nourishes the children she's given birth to. So as Hosea was preaching on the tender, mothering love of God, Israel was being reminded that this mother God would never leave her children, that her ferocious love would follow her people, even if they had to go back to Egypt, to the place of their slavery, would never leave her children, would never abandon them. No, God wasn't going to wave a magic wand and erase all of the problems that Israel had gotten themselves into, taking away all the consequences of their decisions, choices, actions, or inactions. But God was going to accompany them on their journey through and beyond their sorrows, no matter where they led and no matter how long it took. God made this promise to Israel and makes this promise to us. No matter what happens, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad it gets, God will not destroy us, will not abandon us, and will accompany us wherever we go, and when necessary, bring us home again and again, drawing us to herself and lavishing us with her extravagant love. Thanks be to God for the overflowing gift of her life-giving love for all. Amen.